둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Okay. Am I muted? I'm here. I made it. I'm in.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here for checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. That way you get three new interviews sent your way every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Makes it a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to also give the series a rating, leave a review. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including E from the band Eels, Derek Trucks, Carly Pierce. She was here to talk about her new record, Hummingbird. Director Richard Linklater and Adria Arjona to talk about the Hitman on Netflix. Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers. Brandi Carlile, Ani DeFranco, Maya Hawke pulling double duty. She's got a new album, Chaos Angel, and a movie, Wildcat. Caleb Followell from Kings of Leon. Tadanobu Asano from Shogun. Carl Clemens Hopkins from Hacks. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with legendary actor and musician Jeff Daniels. He's got some new songs he released. In fact, he released a trio of new tracks late in April. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about some of his acting. He's currently starring in American Rust and also A Man in Full, the miniseries that's on Netflix. We'll hear about how songwriting has really been the most constant form of art in his life. Tracing all the way back to the 1970s, how a pair of the new songs that he has are written from the perspective of his American Rust character, and his enjoyment of challenging both audiences and Hollywood. Jeff draws parallels while tipping his hat to the genius writings of folks like John Prine, Lyle Lovett, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, Jason Isbell, Noah Baumbach, to name a few. He tells us why James Taylor was such a big influence and why his performance on Kelly Clarkson became such a viral moment. On that acting side, we also get to hear about nailing one of the iconic speeches in Newsroom, one of my all-time favorite roles of his, and why he wants to throw a dinner party for every character that he's ever played. Yes, that does include Harry from Dumb and Dumber. All that and more, we're talking A Man in Full, American Rust, and new music. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Daniels.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, I know April 30th was a big day. You dropped a trio of new songs, and I've had them stuck in my head. This music that you do, Down I Go, especially American Rust, Pittsburgh Looks Like Paris. I've been following the music side of your life for quite a while now. I'm really excited to talk to you about it. These new songs are fantastic. The easy compliments I got to throw your way.
Very nice of you. Thank you very much.
What's that? What is it about? I mean, American Rust, I get it because that was tied to the show. Why Pittsburgh Looks Like Paris and Down I Go? Because from what I understand, you're sort of constantly writing.
Yeah, I am. It's the one thing that has stayed constant with me. The acting career comes and goes depending on the phone. Phone rings and now you're an actor again. Playwriting, I've written, I think I'm on 22 or 23 plays for my theater company. And you have to block out time for that. But the guitar and the song that's coming and the riffs that you've got in your phone that need lyrics, that's constant. That's been constant since the 70s. And it's just kept me creatively alive in between the acting and playwriting, particularly the acting. Because you can go down, and I have, but you can fall off the cliff, your career. And but if I can sit in a room and work on a song or a guitar thing all day creatively, I think like I've progressed on something. And I have control over that. And I've never tried to write so that I could go to Nashville and sell songs. I did that once. And that's fine. I that's okay. I just write for me. I write for the set. I write for the back porch. American Rust was written mainly in the first season of the show as a character study. So I could play that and I could, you know, remind myself of who Del Harris was. So it was really more of an acting exercise kind of thing that put to music. And Down I Go was the same thing. It was Dell. And then Pittsburgh looks like Paris. That's okay. That's a good line. Might want to build something around that. And it was that kind of, it was more about the crew and the people of that city, which reminded me of Detroit, where I'm at, and Cleveland and Buffalo and Chicago, and the middle of the country, those cities, and those people. And the work ethic and the way they identified with where they lived and where they still live and where they don't want to leave. And I would work with those people every day on American Rust. And so that was kind of a Valentine to them. And then in the end to me, because, you know, the last verse is me becoming one of them, which is really just me saying I'm, you know, going to be an actor till I die.
That line, I mean, I relate to what you said. I'm here in Louisville. I'm born and raised in Kentucky, and I have the luxury of traveling a lot, but I do that line. No one talks about leaving because no one wants to go. And for all the chances I've had to do the big move, it's like, or I could just live here. You know, it's,
I could just live here. Yeah. And then COVID taught us that we can live anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still in Michigan.
Yeah, and there's something about that sense of place, because when I first saw the title before I'd heard the song, you know, of course I had a chuckle. Pittsburgh Looks Like Paris.
I know. I tried to think of something. I said, no, that's it. Put it up. That's it.
But it's such a fun song. And Down I Go too. Down I Go, to me, that, you know, there's so much mood in that. And hearing how you talk about Dell and that, like, it makes quite a bit more sense to me on that one, because I don't want to say the lyrics are simple, but, you know, there's this certain wordplay that's kind of back and forth that kind of carries it through.
Yeah, they're simple. They're simple. I always felt like that should be more. That's the other thing, Kyle, too. I don't write and, you know, and then submit it to someone who says, great, another verse and a bridge. You know, it's just kind of postcards or snapshots of, and Down I Go is, it's lean and there's not a lot to it. And I thought, well, maybe it should be more. And maybe somebody else, if they took it, they would make it more. Okay. But that's kind of, that's just Dell sitting on that cabin porch playing that song. That's all that song is meant to be, is his song on the porch.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Daniels. I've talked to plenty of artists who, you know, actors, musicians, etc. And not a lot, but I've asked that question a few times. Like, do you ever take the chance to write from any of your characters' point of view? And I'm always surprised. They go, "Oh no, I've never done that." And I thought, why? You know, when people are looking for inspiration, here it is. And I'm surprised that more people don't take the opportunity. And I don't know if it was, you know, just you did it because you wanted to. It's what it sounded like, or if you had a bit of nudging, but that opens up so much more to me as a listener.
Yeah, I don't do it often. I mean Harry Dunn and Dumb and Dumber. Harry doesn't have a song, but I remember doing a. They just come or they don't. I was doing a play called Blackbird, which was written by David Harrower off Broadway, and it was tough. It was tough. I played a pedophile, and he's at his place of work, and in the door comes a 27-year-old girl who wants to talk to him about when he abused her at the age of 12. And the play starts with me dragging her down the hallway and pushing her into the conference room, slamming the door, going, "What are you doing here? I changed my name. I went to prison. What do you want from me?" And it's 85 minutes of a nightmare. And I remember reading an interview with Dustin Hoffman at that time. And he talked about playing certain characters, and he said it was like shaking hands with the devil, and you just grab it. And so I remember writing that song as, you know, Ray in Blackbird. That was shaking hands with the devil was his thing. So occasionally they'll jump out, and they're very self-serving. And if they travel beyond me, that's a bonus. You know, some are written where you know that, okay, this is a really good John Prine story song. I can drop this in a set, and there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, it's all that time in the 70s around playwrights off Broadway. I mean, there was story structure to that, and so that became kind of, you know, I would write that way, not always, but sometimes the story songs. And those are fun to write because you got to adhere not only to song structure, but story structure.
Man, Prine was one of the best at that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he was a magician.
He could do it with 6 minutes with Lake Marie, and he could do it with, you know, a couple minutes with your flag decal won't get to heaven anymore. It's incredible how much he just, you know, packs into whatever.
But the great ones like Prine, Lyle Lovett's another one for me. And then you go on some of the other artists, you know, I mean, within the acting, Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, those guys, only they would think to say it or do it like this. And in a world where everybody's already done everything, everybody's already sang everything, every song's already been written, here comes Prime, you know, Lyle, "If I Had a Boat." Really? What, Lyle? What? And yet only Lyle Lovett could write that. And I admire those guys. I really do. Really. Jason Isbell's another one that kind of, you know, Southeastern, I think. I mean, they just write, they have a voice. And that's the thing that I've learned, you know, as an actor. You know, I got to work with people like Jim Brooks, who wrote and directed, Woody Allen, who wrote and directed, down, I'm going to forget people, Noah Baumbach, Squid and the Whale, Scott Frank, Godless, Aaron Sorkin, he didn't direct, but I mean, you work with these guys with a singular voice. It's not written by three other screenwriters or five guys sitting in a basement in Nashville. You know, it's one voice. And, you know, I've spent a lot of decades learning how to write to that voice that's in me. That then you go out and you play a song like Grandfather's Hat while I'm wearing a fedora. And the next thing you know, people are crying. Not because they had grandfathers or hat, the grandfathers had hats, but because their aunt had a necklace or their mother had a ring or they got their dad's pocket watch, you know, that stuff. And that's where you just go, the magic of art.
Well, I noticed that in your like, you know, you from the wordplay like good on the bad side of town, or like, yeah, I'll use the title "Come a Little Closer," your song title,
Yeah.
because you have this lean-in quality. It's a very much a lean-in quality. I want to like that's you're naming those directors, writer directors, and that's the company you keep for a reason, it seems, because we're all hanging off those words. You know, I want to know about Jesus being stoned or whatever it is. You know, it's...
Yeah. Yes. Who else would write that song but me? That's what, when you see something like that, and because Michigan went recreational marijuana, they were like right behind Colorado and California, which stunned those in the Midwest. I don't know what Louisville and Kentucky is it. You're probably, you know, at bourbon, but that's about it.
We should be there by now. It's a good weed state, but it's not legal yet. It's,
yeah. Well, Michigan led the way. I couldn't believe it. And so I didn't want to partake. I didn't want to dive like, you know, oh, let's go back to high school. I didn't want to do that. But I did get a book, and it was a pot book with essays written by scholars on, you know, the history and the, you know, the whole, you know, prohibition and why and all this stuff. And then there was one article written by a toxicologist who did a deep dive into marijuana all the way back to hemp, which took him all the way back to biblical times. And he made the, you know, he did the work apparently and added up the numbers and came to the conclusion that the potency of the hemp in biblical times was lethal. And I said, what if Jesus was a stoner? I said, there we go. Give me a day or two to write it. That was fun.
All in place. You've got some classics there. That's one of them. That's
yeah, I get through the first verse and the audience is usually pretty stunned. And they go, oh, where is this? And I just go, don't worry, it gets worse. And then they just start laughing. And then, you know, he walks in leather sandals.
But, you know, I know we've named other artists already, but it's like there's so many qualities in your that like I'm reminded even of like Dave Alvin of the Blasters. Yes. Or the Plimsolls. I'm dropping his name right now, but that's what I was wondering. It's like, you know, for all the stuff we're talking about, was that always your lane? Because coming up in that 70s singer songwriter roots, Americana, country, whatever you want to call it, like I don't know how you feel. You sound really comfortable, you know, in that lane right there.
Yeah, I remember early on when I first moved to New York in 76, I was getting, you know, I was James Taylor. I never mentioned him, but I should because, you know, he early on that all he's gotten is an acoustic guitar. If you have dreams of being a rock star, you're going to need a band and a crew and all that. But if you just want to write songs, all you need is an acoustic guitar. I had taken piano. Can't lug a piano around, certainly not to live in one room in New York City, but you can take an acoustic guitar. And so I said, well, maybe I can learn how to play this. And I had heard Arlo Guthrie. I had seen him in concert in Detroit. That led me to City of New Orleans. That led me to Stevie Goodman, Prine. And I remember going to the Arc in Ann Arbor in the late 80s. And I saw Christine Lavin play, and she was funny. Arlo was funny. Stevie Goodman was funny. It was like being given permission to write funny. And in the arts, serious and important wins the day. Funny is, you know, in the other room, shut the door. We don't want to hear it. And it's not important. And I would argue that today it's comedy and laughter is more important than ever. It's the great unifier, but that always attracted me, and the ability to write funny and not just be a novelty song, you know, and I've written some of those Trumpty Dumpty Blues, stuff like that, but that's just to get something out of my system. But the ones that are funny that hold up are well-written, and Christine in particular opened that door for me early on. I remember she heard my first album and got to me and just said, next time you're in New York, you're going to play Birdland. I go, what? On a Monday night, it's called Cast Party. Everybody gets up and does one song. So it's not like, you know, you're headlining at Birdland, but still it's Birdland. I got up and I played If William Shatner Can, I Can Too. And it worked. And then she took me over at 2 a.m, took me over to, I think Joey Reynolds had a radio show in New York City at 2 a.m. that people listened to. And she introduced me to Joey and said, I know he's an actor, but he can write. And she had heard Dirty Harry Blues and some stuff like that. So she basically said, you can do this. You can do this. And then I got an agent named Jim Fleming who said the same thing. And next thing I know, I'm like, well, I'm clubbing. Maybe I'll do this. And I did it. I've been doing it for 25 years now.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Jeff Daniels.
We were talking a minute ago about writing songs from the character's point of view, but there's the flip on that too, right? Because you also get to embody these type of characters, Dick Croker from Man and Fool, or that, you know, these aren't people that we're supposed to like, of course. These are the bad guys in the songs that you can sing about, but now you also get to be them. And you were talking about that a minute ago with, you know, the Broadway thing and all that. It's like, that's a really interesting path to be able to do, like to step into those people, you know, to know, like, we like Jeff Daniels, we love Jeff Daniels, but that guy's horrible, you know, yeah, that he's playing.
Yeah, I love fucking with people. I love fucking with the audience, with Hollywood. That's why I did Dumb and Dumber. You cannot do this. We're not going to let you do this. I'm doing it. And then from there to everything else I've done is this huge range of roles. I don't want people to know what I'm going to do next. There are a couple things that I'm looking at doing that people are going to go, what? What? It's just not the standard career path, unless you love taking chances and risking that maybe you might not pull it off. Charlie Croker was definitely that. Del Harris and American Rust, not so much. I just had never played that, you know, Sam Shepard, Clint Eastwood, quiet, brooding, you know, dark thoughts guy. They put a guitar in my hand in the show because they knew I could play. And so that made it easy to kind of have Del just write those songs. But that, you know, that's the joy of acting now. You spend decades trying to learn how to do it. And then your head is full of stuff that you really don't need. And then the magic trick is just becoming Del Harris. Is that, as they're saying, rolling, you just, it's almost like letting yourself go. Get out of the way. And if you've done the prep and the research and you know the lines and you kind of have, you know where he is, he's in the room. And then with rolling, speed, and then you can feel him come. And then you just get out of the way. Brian Dennehy was a great friend of mine, great actor. And he had done a lot of long runs on Broadway. And I was in the middle of doing To Kill a Mockingbird, a year-long run. I was halfway through and I went to him. I said, Brian, I don't know how am I going to make it? I got 5 more months to go. He said, just let it take you. Step on stage and let it take you. And the same thing with in front of the camera. Or even that song, when you're singing the song of Down I Go or whatever, it's just you let it take you and then you give it away. That's kind of what it is. It took decades to learn how to get out of the way and to stop judging and just kind of become him. I call it less acting and more I become the character. And that's when it's working great. That's when it feels right.
And that's so funny that the best lesson to learn is to forget the, I mean, that's almost a cliche sometimes, right? Like, forget everything.
Well, I mean, I play golf and it's the same thing. It's like, oh, get out of your way. Just let that natural, you know, swing, that skip in the stone swing. And it is a cliche, but it's hard to do when they're pointing a camera at you and it's 2 a.m. and there's a lot of money being spent and you got to hit the big speech. You tense up or you can get out of the way and let it go. And next thing you know, you got the Northwestern speech in the newsroom, you know, where you just let it go. You got to do the work. You got to do the work ahead of time. You got to do all that work. You got to outwork all the people that are satisfied with just being good. You've got to outwork them. And when you've done that and you know it that well, then you can become him. I learned that off Newsroom. Newsroom was survival. It was 7 months of basically studying for final exams and taking them and then the next one and the next one. And that's just the dialogue. It was, I loved doing it, but man, that's where I learned how much preparation you have to do before you even get there.
That's a Sorkin script. Newsroom's one of my all-time favorites. I mean, you know, your character in that. I'll sidebar only to say, you really hit on my biggest philosophy that I even tell people. It's, you know, it's, I might not be the best, but I'll outwork everybody else.
Yeah, it's the Midwestern. It's the Midwestern thing. I've sat in auditions in New York City with Juilliard, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, and Yale Drama School, and I dropped out of Central Michigan University. Yeah, I've been in that room.
I know that well. I do. But those characters, that's what I was getting at. It's like, to see, you know, Will from the newsroom and Charlie from A Man in Full, and even thinking about the two sides of that coin, you know, yeah, you get out of your way. Do you ever take that moment to sort of have the two of them? I mean, I don't know. Do the two of them ever talk to each other in any, not just those specific two, although I would love to have that, see that dinner happen.
Well, no, they don't. It's pretty kind of in you go. And only the one of them. But I have imagined, having played so many different characters, that when I do retire, throwing a huge dinner party for everyone I've ever played at the age I played them, and they all come, and I get to walk around the room and see, you know, Charlie Croker talking to Atticus Finch, trying to make conversation, and then Harry Dunn sits down. that just fascinates me. That would be a fun thing to write.
Love to see that. By the way, and that soundtrack to A Man in Full, Big Bad John, song that my dad sang to me growing up so much, Shaking All Over, Don't Mess Around with Jim. Like, that's a pretty great soundtrack.
I remember the premiere in LA. I forget the composer, but man, I said, just great. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
So you got the trio of songs here. The album's been a few years now since one of those. You thinking about that?
Well, I don't have to answer to anybody. What we're doing is, one by one, we're putting up, I probably got about five more to go. There's my son, Ben's a musician. And what we're doing is a thing called Just the Two of Us, where, you know, American Rust is me, guitar and vocal, and then Ben is everything else. And same thing with Down I Go, same thing with Pittsburgh and Paris. And I just did this song on Kelly Clarkson's show called When My Fingers Find Your Strings.
It's a great rendition there. Great performance.
It's Kelly Clarkson. You know, you're sitting there going, this is probably a big moment. Try to remember the words, you know, but it felt so, she's so welcoming and so easy to talk to. And they had asked me, would you bring your guitar? And I said, sure. And what do you want to hear? I mean, I've got some covers I can do. She can sing along. No. One of yours. We don't want to pay for covers. I said, okay. Well, here's three or four. Okay, we'll choose this one. Okay. Can you do it in 2 minutes and 30 seconds? I'll cut it down. Sure.
Because that's what, a 5-minute song, right?
There are versions with Ben's band up on the internet that it's got some length to it. But that was, you know, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Yeah, I can do that. But then once we started into the segment of the song, it was like doing a gig, you know, in a club or at my theater, where I'll go on and play and raise some money for the theater. And it was easy. And the song was, you know, I've been playing it for 15 years, and she was unaware. She just knew another actor had a song and he wanted to play it. That's what she knew. So she told me later that in the break, she said, this doesn't always go well when actors do this. I'm going, oh, I'm very aware. And she said, I mean, sometimes they're halfway through and I'm thinking, how do I save this? And it didn't. It sailed and it hit the internet. And Kelly has been so supportive of the song. Those kind of big time people, you know, that affirmation of people like her, just go, oh, well, maybe I've got a few that aren't so bad, you know? So that was anyway. Ben and I are gonna, we just did a recorded a thing, Fingers and Strings, with just the two of us, that we'll have up on the internet probably this week. So there's four, and then we'll probably got three or four or five more, and then that'll be an album, I guess.
I'll look forward to it. I will. I mean, I do. I so appreciate what you do on this side of things. You do tell great stories. It's a talent not everybody has.
No, I don't have to sell us. I don't have to. I'm just doing it for me. And there's a freedom in that everybody in Nashville does not have, because they have to make a living at it. I don't. And so I just get to do it for the love of it. And I've stayed at it and learned how to write better and better and better. The guitar's gotten better. And, you know, it's still something I enjoy as much today as when I was sitting in that one room apartment in New York City in 1976. I still have the same love for it.
Well, I know how much we love compliments here in the Midwest, and I'm just going to over compliment you on all of this stuff. but seriously, I look forward to hearing the other ones coming out and all the rest of stuff. I mean, A Manifold is so good, and American Rust is so good, and, you know, just a fan of what you do. I really am.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Appreciate it.
My thanks to Jeff. New music out there that does include American Rust, Down I Go, and Pittsburgh Look Like Paris. And sounds like there's plenty on the way this year as well. You can also catch him in American Rust and A Man in Full. That one's out on Netflix. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can get all the interviews that I do every single week and doing every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday so you can keep up with your favorite artists, discover the new ones at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Again, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And of course, please do give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Astro Gilberto, Susie and the Banshees, Suki Waterhouse, Johnny Cash, Los Lobos, Fleetwood Mac, Eric Tyler, Leon Bridges, Maya Hawke, the John Spencer Blues Explosion, the Beatles, Lou Reed, and my interview with Roseanne Cash, as we talked about the 30th anniversary of her album, The Wheel. Again, just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, when you tune in at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. I'm on all of them. The address is always at Kyle Meredith, so I do hope you follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
That was fun. Thank you. I love talking about the music. That's great.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.